All right, so we're talking about structure tonight. And we had this beautiful illustration of the pathway. This is what it text. This is the original audience. And this first line here, you can tell I'm not an illustrator, is what? What did she call it? It's a big word that a lot of us maybe don't know. What is it? Exegesis. So it's that word work we're doing. And what we're going to talk about tonight, structure, is on that line. Katie showed it to us. Just wanted to reiterate that. So we have one more principle tonight, structure. So, okay. Oh, one more thing on prayer, sorry. Take a picture of this. There's a really good article in Nine Marks on prayer. So if you want it, if you write really fast, write it down. Otherwise, take a picture. And it's short, but it's very encouraging on prayer and word work. How many of you like to wrap Christmas gifts? Raise your hand really high. Okay, more than I thought. I actually like wrapping gifts. I'm not super artistic, so for me, it's like an artistic outlet. That's the place where I can be artistic. I like the paper. I like the bow. I like the color coordination. But most of all, I like to decide, how am I going to package this? How am I going to put this together? Now, at our house at Christmas, the wrapping, the way it's packaged, has a lot to do with the person giving the gift. Sometimes I like to fool people, put a very little thing in a big thing so that they don't know they're getting that thing on their Christmas list that they wanted, but they're not going to know it till they open the gift. I get creative. Sometimes you disguise it. Sometimes there are multiple gifts, and sometimes there's a gift bag. These are becoming very popular because it is really easy just to put that tissue in there. But there's a point. The way the gift is packaged comes down to the person, the intention of the person giving the gift, right? So, here is the structure picture. And here is the structure principle. When we are doing word work, we have to do that hard work of figuring out the structure of a passage. We must discover the structure of a text to discern its emphasis. We must discover the structure of a text to discern its emphasis. All right, well, what does that have to do with the gift bag? Here, let me show you. Here's my gift bag. I just got it from a friend, and now I'm opening it, and I'm going to open it with you. Oh, there's multiple little gifts in here. Let's see what the first one is. What is it? Chamomile tea. Okay. Awesome. Wonder why she gave me this gift. Oh, little candle. Tea, candle. I love this. Ooh, it's a bigger one in here, bigger package. Fuzzy slipper socks. Are you getting the picture here? All right, last little bundle. This is very exciting. Oh. What is it? NyQuil DayQuil. Somebody's sick. But we had to unwrap all the parts, didn't we? All the packages to really get, what is this in here? Let me give you another example. Example two, I don't have this gift bag. Open it up. Some of you would love to get this. Maggiano's gift card. Also, another package, open it up, in the gift bag, movie tickets. Last one, babysitting voucher. Date night for somebody with little kids. Okay. Do you see how this picture could relate to structure? This gift bag has a structure. There might be two little gifts inside. There might be three little packages inside. There might be five little packages inside. But you have to open each one to find the contents and know how they relate to each other. We have to open the bag, each of its parts, to see how the gift is organized and understand the giver's intention and the emphasis of the gift. Likewise, when we come to God's Word, we can look at our text as a gift, and the author has packaged his ideas in a way that has an emphasis. So every text is packaged in a certain way or has a certain emphasis, and we must discover the structure of a text to discern its emphasis. Does that make sense? We need to understand how the author has organized the text to understand the writer's intended emphasis. And what's emphasis? What is emphasis? It's what the text is about based on how it's organized in just a few little words. It's not a summary of the whole text. The emphasis is just a few short words where the author kind of lands with that text. Now later, as we continue our prep, the main point of the passage will flow out of that emphasis. But for now, we're just talking about the structure, how a passage is organized, and then the emphasis. Now, it will help us to look at the biblical text with an eye to see the contents inside, how the author has organized and structured the material so we can understand the emphasis. So the big question then is, how has the author organized the passage? That's all structure is. How is this organized? How did the author put the pieces together? How is this put together? You could have this as a picture of structure. You might see somebody give an illustration of a skeleton, how it's structured, the shape of the structure. But the whole idea of structure is, how's this material organized? How's it put together? So when we are looking at the scriptures and trying to figure out, all right, how is this passage structured? What we're looking to figure out in the end is, what was the intention of the author? What's his emphasis? So that first gift bag I opened, what was the intention of the giver? Was it just, oh, cozy, here's something little cozy for you? No, it was actually even more specific than that, wasn't it? It was, somebody's sick, and I want you to feel better and get better. All right. So, the realities for the Bible teacher figuring out structure, number one, it is hard work. It's one of the first steps in preparing a lesson. And you should give it maybe an hour. Structure is a good servant and a terrible master. You could spend 20 hours on finding the structure of a passage. It is a tool to serve the teacher. And I also want to say this. There isn't a book out there that has the structure of every passage in the Bible, because there is no the structure for that passage. So don't do that to yourselves. The point of this is try to understand, what's the author getting at? What's the intention of the author? How is this material organized? So I can get a glimpse into the mind of the author. So, where do we start? How do we find the structure? Well, we just talked about prayer, so I would say pray. pray. And then read. Read the text and read it again and read it again, and then maybe listen to it. Or have somebody read it to you or read it aloud. And it helps too. Structure really helps if you use a literal translation of the Bible. That will help you with structure. All right, so we are in John, and we are in the gospel. So my question to you is, when we are reading in the gospel of John, what type of text are we looking at? Okay, say that louder. Narrative. Okay, we're looking at narrative. What does that mean, narrative? Some of us weren't very good at lit class. A story. Okay. Is it strictly narrative in the Gospels? No. What? Discourse. Okay, what is discourse? Okay, a speech, a line of thinking. Now, I usually think of maybe the epistles with discourse, right? But sometimes we encounter discourse, the Beatitudes in the Gospels. Now, here's a good question that came up in a small group. Is conversation discourse? Not necessarily. And so I think sometimes we can get tripped up in the Gospels when we see quotations, we see people speaking. Sometimes it's just part of the story. So, Annie, when you said speaking with a line of thinking, think lecture, not conversation. Okay, so let's say we have narrative. Talking about narrative, what are the reading strategies within narrative that we can use to help us? So if we're looking at narrative, what types of things can we be looking for to figure out the structure? Just say it really loud if you have an idea. Anything in particular, if we're talking about narrative? Setting. Okay, what else? Characters. Climax. Okay, now you guys are talking. Setting and climax, what does that remind you of? Plot arc. Anybody know what a plot arc is? AP, now we're to AP lit. Okay. What goes here? Setting. Ooh, the setting of the story. What's this? Rising action. What else could you call it? I'm sorry? Okay, we don't want to get, this is basic. This is AP basic. Conflict. Okay. So you're telling me that doing this plot arc, so this is conflict or a problem, doing this plot arc will help us find the emphasis. All right, what's up here usually? The climax. And do you know that in narratives, the emphasis is almost always found near the climax? Okay. And then what's happening here then in the narrative? Resolution. So we had conflict, now we have resolution, and then what's that other line? New setting. Setting, new setting. Okay. Great. This can be a very helpful tool when you're in narrative finding the structure of the passage. It is not the only way, but some people find it very helpful. If you find it helpful, do it. If you don't find it helpful, try it. But there may be other ways. Some of the other ways we talked about, characters, anything else? Okay, contrast. Who said logic? Okay, logic. Do you think logic is a good strategy in narrative? What do you mean by logic in narrative, do you think? Okay, I think that's exactly right, and I would say that is especially true in discourse or teaching. like you can look at the flow of thought and find a structure. I think it might be a little harder, but I think obviously you should look at that in narrative. That's great. Any other things in narrative? A sandwich. Okay, what do you mean by that? Okay. So look for some of those literary features where things might be sandwiched in between two other things. How about in when you encounter conversation in narrative? We had this in some of our worksheet passages. What? Dialogue. Okay, so you might say, okay, here's a dialogue. And within dialogue, this is a big one that can be helpful. Questions. Questions and answers. Questions and answers. Even repetition in narrative. Okay, this list is not, oh, questions. Repetition. This is not exhaustive. Okay, if we were going to quick go through discourse, which we don't have as much in the Gospel of John, anything else? What else would we be looking for, strategies to try to help us uncover the structure of a passage? Okay, so the length of a response to a question might mean there's an emphasis there. Good, so look at that in the structure. Excellent. Anybody else? Okay, so what's your name? Sorry. Betsy. Betsy's brought up a good thing to be looking for when we're studying the Bible, and it's references to other parts of the Bible. Now, I think that is super valuable, and it is super valuable as you study. It's not quite as valuable when we're talking about structure. We'll get to other aspects where it is a little more helpful, but that shift certainly would impact the structure. So I think that's definitely something to be looking for. Okay, there's another literature type in Scripture. Poetry. We're not even going to cover poetry right now because we don't have time, and I'm not a poet. No, just kidding. But, you know, stanzas, repetition, shifts in imagery. There are strategies specific for poetry. You'll need to go back to another Simeon Trust workshop on a book of poetry for that. But discourse, a couple of other things. Flow of logic we had. What else? A couple more things for discourse, and then we'll move on. In the back. Transition words, like what? Transition words. So if we were going to be a little broader, even grammar in general, when we're talking about discourse, right? Let's see. Anything else? Transition words, therefore, in order that, grammar. Repeated words, phrases, ideas. Chiasms. Okay, now we're into college level literature. Are you talking about in poetry?
In poetry and discourse and narrative, they're all throughout.
Okay, and if you would like a lesson on that, find Leslie tonight, and you can sign up for her. No, that's excellent. So, give us a 10-second definition of a chiasm.
Center is this.
Excellent. So the structure of the passage, you have ideas introduced here. They're mirrored maybe down here, then here, then here, then here, then here. And usually what's in the center is the emphasis. Excellent. All right. Guess what? You get to unwrap some presents. Okay. We are going to do some work in the Gospel of Mark. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to divide into three groups. We are going to take the far right tables of three. You are group one. You are group two. This whole section is group three. Yep, this section of tables. The first three tables are group one. The last two tables are group two. All right, you got your two groups? All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three different groups, passages in the book of Mark, and we're going to plot structure. So for those of you who don't like it, hope you're sitting by somebody who does. But we're going to work on this. We're going to identify the elements of the plot in this passage, the story, the beginning, the middle, the climax, the point of no return, and the end. Now, here are the sections. Your group one, you've got Mark 5, 1 to 20. Group two has Mark 5, 24b to 34. And group three is very accelerated because you have a split set of verses. Okay? And what you're going to do is you are going to read the passage quickly with, or scan it if it's too long, with the people around you, and then just one or two people around you, and then you're going to ask yourself two questions. What are the main packages in this passage? What's the content? And I want you to try to do this in a plot arc. What are the main packages of setting, conflict, climax, resolution, new setting, and what's the content of each of those? Sorry? See it up there? Okay, you are going to have 10 minutes. Go for it. So the verse divisions are the packages, okay? So like setting, what verses? Conflict, okay? Those are the little packages, okay? And content is a brief little label that you might label on the front of the package, like Jesus, but whatever, you know, just a few words. All right, you've got 1 minute, and then we're going to come back together, and I need brave people to be willing to tell me about their packages and the contents. All right, ladies, let's come back together. All right, I'm going to be asking, we're going to take this section by section. So group one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you should have 5 packages. Not every package for every table is going to look the same, but because the other tables did not read your passage, this will be a helpful way to see if we can give the content briefly and the package briefly so they understand what's going on. Okay, table ones, listen up. Raise your hand if you would like to share your setting package. Setting. What's the setting in Mark 5, 1 to 20. Okay, way to go. She's in my small group. Way to go. Okay, real loud. Okay, we've got the setting. And what verses are those? Verse 1. Verse 1, Jesus went to the other side of the sea to the Gerasenes. That's the setting. Okay, second package. Conflict. We have a conflict. What is it in Mark 5, 1 to 20? Real loud. There is a man with a demon. And what's the problem? He's possessed and... Okay, he's causing harm to himself. He's freaking people out. Okay. Yes. There's a rising conflict, I think. That's a good question. It's not the climate. It's rising. So we have this guy, this man, 2B to 5. He has an unclean spirit. He's harming himself. He's scaring other people. That's a problem. I see what you're saying. Because it was in the past, you're saying it was more setting, but that's exactly what it is. We see the problem, and the problem is rising. Okay. Climax for 5, 1 to 20. Anybody want to share where they saw that? It can be a bunch of verses, people. It doesn't have to be one verse. What's happening in the climax? Yes. Okay. Is that where what other people had? Is that the climax? That, who just said that? Annie, what did you say? She said, I think that is the resolution. So this is where it's tricky, and this is why I don't like plot arcs, but it at least gets us in the right focus. We've got this prop, we've got a setting, we've got a problem. It's rising. The climax really is this guy encounters Jesus. It's where you're on the edge of your seat. Oh, no, what's going to happen? That's the climax. Is Jesus going to heal this guy? What's he going to do? And he saw Jesus. So really, like 6 to 12, that's the climax. And then the resolution, verse 13, Jesus permits the unclean spirits to go into the pigs. Does that make sense? Is there a new setting? Oh, go ahead. Okay, and this is where I want to land on this, because we're going to have to keep going. That's exactly right, and that's actually the emphasis. So, did we get the resolution and the climax in just the right verses? I don't know. But when we teach, we don't teach the structure. We teach the emphasis, right? And then we try to get it as right as we can. But the point is, Jesus casts out these demons and has authority over demons. Okay, so then there's a new setting, right? The new setting, people respond to the incident, the man's healed, there's verses 14 to 20. Okay, great job. We're going to move on, because we have to get to the bleeding woman in plot two. What's the setting? What's the setting in the second set of plots? What? Okay, the woman has it. The crowds are following Jesus. We have a new setting. There's a crowd following Jesus. What's the problem? We have this woman, 25 and 26. She's got a disease, discharge of blood. She's heard about Jesus. Okay, what's... Now I'm scared to ask this. What's the climax? Okay. She encounters Jesus by touching him. Excellent. So we don't know what's going to happen, right? That's the climax. She touches him, 27 and 28. Now, what is Jesus going to do? And what's the resolution? Verse 29, he heals her. And the new setting is what? Right. She's got this new... whole new identity now, and it moves the reader towards a new reality for this woman. See that? Okay, I'm sorry, we're going fast. Plot three, Jairus' daughter. This is really tricky because it's the structure is bookending part of the other passage. Okay, what's the setting for 5, 22 and 24 to 35 to 43? What's the setting? Okay, Jesus crosses the boat and encounters a crowd. That's verses what? 21 and 22, probably, yeah. What do we have a conflict in this? What's the conflict? What's the problem? What's the rising action? What? Pardon me? Who's she? Okay, Jairus' daughter is sick and dies. Okay, that's a problem. What is the climax? And when that's verses, that's like split. First she, 23 to 24, and then 35 to what, like 40? Yeah. Okay, and then the climax? Jesus encounters the little girl. Talk to her. What are we on the edge of our seat? He's talking, he encounters the girl. Okay, 40B, Jesus encounters the little girl and is talking to her, and then the resolution is what? She rises from the dead. And what verse is that? 42, right? And then what's the new setting? 43. She has her new life, and Jesus also says, hey, don't tell anybody about this. All right. This is, plot arcs are hard. Not every gift fits into every standard package, and that's what I want you to know. Plot arc is a great tool to try. It might not work in the passage you're in. It might help you see a few things, and then you start looking at it in other ways. Here's the question. We're going to unpack this together. Rather than three separate talks, let's pretend you've just been assigned to teach all of Mark 5. You've been assigned to teach all of Mark 5, and now you've got to figure out the emphasis. What do these three passages, these three plot arcs, what do they all have in common? Jesus. Okay, so we have some repetition of words. What are some words that you see repeated? Okay, so there's healing, authority, okay. New life. So we have a problem faced by a character. There's this climax with some kind of encounter with Jesus that results in their healing. So I want you to take 1 minute with the person next to you, and in your passage, how would you describe the character and their problem in one word? One word for the character, one word for the problem. Go. Be very specific as you can be. But what's the presenting problem? The presenting problem that Jesus resolves. Okay, come together. First passage, we have what? Who's the person? A man. What's his problem? Demon possessed. Second passage, who's the person? A woman, what's her problem? She's bleeding. She's got a health problem. Number three, a girl, a child, what's her problem? Disease and death. What do we learn about Jesus? Because he is the central character in Mark 5. What do we learn about Jesus? With, what'd you say? Okay. For all people. Jesus has authority over demons, over death, disease, over death. For all people, how would you describe them? Man, woman, children. Okay, do you see how taking time, and this was tricky because it was a lot of verses. It's plot arc, which I really don't like. But plot arc can help. You might have just looked at it by characters. Question. Loud. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? An encounter with Jesus radically changes the main characters who represent all men, all women, all children, and all the problems in the world. Demons, death, disease. And Jesus has authority over all this. Look at Mark 4:41. Coming in the context, I'm not doing context, but look at how this sets it up, that verse, because it was the question right before this passage where Jesus calms the storm. Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? This is who he is. This is Jesus, who has authority over demons, disease, and death for men, women, children. Wow.